following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Number 11. This is number 11, March 30th. And glad you're tuning in and joining us again today and praying, as a lot of us are, that these will continue to be an encouragement to you. That's the point. That the original fireside chats, that was the idea, to bring comfort and encouragement at a stressful time, in a time of need. And so that's why we're doing this, and hopefully you are expecting that and allowing the Lord to just comfort you and encourage you through a timely word. And today's timely word is going to be from Pastor Chase, so he's going to bring that to us in a moment. And before we do, so many things that we can tell you in terms of what's available. And for the sake of time, let me just suggest this. Call us at the church office number and let us call you back with an answer to your particular question. You may have a question about what about the food ministry or what's going on with services or a variety of questions that could take our whole 15-minute time slot to answer. Just call us and one of us pastors will call you back and answer those questions. But right now it's time to listen to our brother Chase. So I'm looking forward to it. So take it away.
All right. So in today's talk, if you guys have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, and I'm going to start reading in verse 21 and 22, and it says, "From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you." So fear, anxiety, hopelessness, and confusion would have been some of the different feelings that Peter and the rest of the disciples would have felt from hearing these words from their beloved rabbi and Messiah. In only a few verses before, Peter, one of the disciples, was acknowledged by Jesus as having been given divine insight from God, in which he understood Jesus' true identity as more than just a teacher, but as the Son of God and the promised Messiah that they had been waiting for. And so now hearing this from Jesus, we see this was obviously a lot for Peter to take in. Now currently, some of the emotions that I just mentioned Peter having might describe some of the ones that maybe you or I might have. Because our current perception of maybe what is all going on. And you know what? If that is you, I don't blame you. Can I just acknowledge that there are some very burdensome things that are going on out there for many? Not the least bit being the virus, in which this morning it was said that there were 143,000 cases in the U.S., nearly 2,500 deaths, and only a few days ago, the U.S. is now been said to have be the epicenter of all that is going on with it. Or unemployment. I don't know many people who have contracted the virus personally, but I do know many people who have lost their jobs or are on the verge of it. Or when we look at our economy or healthcare or food or even the feelings of isolation, from every human metric, the thought of what might be is enough to cause fear, anxiety, hopelessness, and confusion to even maybe the most stable of us. But before you stop and ask yourself, hey, why are you not killing it in the motivational speaker circuit? Let me assure you that there is hope. There is absolutely hope. There is hope for those of you who might have contracted the virus. There's hope for you who recently lost a job. There's hope for you who are wondering what our world will be like on the other side of this thing. There is hope for those of you who might be wondering what you will be like. How can I know this, you might ask? Because though from a purely human perspective of reality, things look hopeless, I believe God sees and works from a very different vantage point. And we see this again time and time throughout the scriptures, and we see it in the verses that we're about to read. So again, Matthew 16, verse 22 again, and then 23, as the discourse between Jesus and Peter continues, it says, "But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You're seeing things merely from a human point of view, but not from God's." So right after Peter starts to feel some of those things, he acts out on it. And basically he corners Jesus, and he, in order to rebuke him and tell him, "Hey, Jesus, you're wrong in this." Commentator David Guzik points out, just moments ago, Peter was actually admonished and encouraged by Jesus from hearing from God. So it could be here that Peter thinks he actually knows better than Jesus, and again, he's hearing from the Father. But notice what Jesus does. He pulls out his cell phone and starts texting in order to get out of the uncomfortable conversation like most of us do. No, he doesn't do that. He calls Peter out, and he says at that moment, he's not being used by God, but by the enemy as he was trying to stop Jesus from doing what he came for, as he was seeing things only from a human point of view and not from God's. In other words, how you would do it and how you thought it was all going to go down is one thing, but how I'm going to do it is differently than you would. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 proclaims the reason why this is. As God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways." This is the Lord's declaration. "For as heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And as God is so much greater and higher than we are, so is the way that he thinks, the way that he does things. Think the cross. God took on what could have been truly the worst day in history as God himself put on human flesh, lived a perfect 33 years, then was brutally crucified to die a death reserved for the worst of sinners. But in God's eyes, it was different. Because at the cross, Jesus willingly and obediently went to it, taking on guilt, our shame, and penalty that should have been ours. And through his work, he defeats sin and death, ensuring his victory. And he also makes a way for messed up sinners to be reconciled back to God. Meaning for us, it actually has become the best of days in history. And though there's absolutely a lot of bad things currently going on, I can assure you that God sees things from a different perspective. And if we allow him to, he'll get the last word. Another example of this beautifully illustrated is in the Old Testament story of Joseph, which most of you guys are probably familiar with. But in this story, it's recorded basically between Genesis 37 and 50. And from a zoomed out perspective, you see Joseph's life, and a lot of it was marked by lies, by betrayal, and by injustice. No, not by him, so calm down, but by others around him and towards him. And I'm sure there were many times for Joseph where he was probably wondering, "What is going on right now? Why is God allowing this to happen to me?" Maybe even, "God, are you still for me? God, are you good?" Maybe some of you guys might be wondering that today. But throughout the many various trials that he goes through, he trusts God. And ultimately, after being sold into slavery by his brothers, being lied about, being thrown into jail, and forgotten about by those he would once help, Joseph is raised up to the second in command over all of Egypt. And God uses Joseph as a vessel to save his family. And through that, their entire future nation that would actually come from them. And I love how at the end of Joseph's story, there's a moment where after many years, he's brought face to face with his brothers. The same brothers that had once hated him, the same brothers who had sold him into slavery. And at this point, he's at this place of great authority. And if he was still bitter, if he was still unforgiving, at a moment's notice, he could have had them all taken out. Yet having trusted God through it all, he had seen that God was at work all along. And listen to what he says in Genesis 50, verses 18 through 20. It says that his brothers also came to him, bowed down before him and said, "We are your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You plan evil against me, but God planned it for good to bring about the present result, the survival of many people." Now, I know some of you guys might be thinking, well, that's Joseph. He is a Bible hero, right? So of course that would happen to him, but I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And to that, let me say, all who are saved and used by God are by his grace. But also know that I think we can bank on God being at work and able to use even our current situations to do a work in us and maybe even through us. Many of you guys know this verse, maybe you even have this on a coffee cup. But I believe God might use this time to move it from our coffee cups and onto our hearts experientially. As Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purposes. So he's at work in us, but I also believe that he desires to be at work through us in this time. And the reason I think that is when you read through the book of Acts, even as persecution starts firing up in Acts 9, as the people continue to follow God, as they continue to trust God, even in the midst of their trial, God uses it to spread the gospel all throughout the Roman Empire, when up to that point, most of the believers were kind of huddled up in Jerusalem. And so as I was thinking about this, last week, my bride and Jess and I, we started talking, and basically we came to realize that there are some really great opportunities, I believe, at hand for the believer and the gospel in this unique time. Then we asked the question of, what if in all that was going on, God is at work and answering people's prayers in a way that only he would? Again, humanly speaking, there is many bad things about this time going on. Absolutely. Challenges, of course. Unique difficulties, yes. And it would be a shame and a misunderstanding if you thought I didn't believe so. As for many, this is reality. And yet my hope is in God meeting people in reality and entering into those realities with his reality. Family, what if at this time God was doing something in you or in our church or even in the Big C Church? What if he's redeeming and restoring things that are broken, as he has often a way of doing, as he makes beauty for ashes? There were even a couple of events that happened to us personally this past week that gave us some glimpses that maybe this has already started. There's this phrase in the book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which is part of the Chronicles of Narnia series. But at the time, in the book, there's like ice frozen over because there's this evil witch queen and stuff too. But some of the characters, as they see some of the ice beginning to melt, they say, Aslan is on the move. Aslan is on the move. And you know what? After some of these different experiences, I was thinking, man, God, it seems that you are in the move. And if he's wanting to do this, are we ready for that? Will we trust him? And will you believe that he actually has a different view of things than you and I often do? And as you answer those questions, I really just want to read to you guys this poem. And that's kind of how I'm going to finish our time. So it's actually a poem written by an unknown author. It says this: I asked for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I was asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I among men am most richly blessed. Friends, we can know how blessed we are as those who walk with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the promise that we can trust you. God, we thank you that even now, Lord, you see things from a different vantage point. Lord, even now you are equipping your saints to be able to do the work of the ministry, though it might take a different look, though it might be a different context than what we're used to. God, we trust that you are a God who is on the move and in the business of restoring and reclaiming things to yourself, Lord, redeeming things. And we want to be a part of that. So God, would you give us eyes to see? Lord, would you fill us afresh with your spirit? And would you give us hope of your movement and your goodness, your mercy, and your ability to see and be over all things? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.